By the end of his first period, it wasn't just Carlos who was happy to be back in school. Evie was glad she had decided to show up as well. For one thing, she didn't see any sign of Mal. And for another thing, it was empowering to realize that while her mother might never think she was pretty enough, she was certainly pretty enough for her selfie seminar, which only a few students from Selfies 101 were allowed to take. As it turned out, she could have taught the class herself. "These are amazing," Mother Gothel gushed as she looked over Evie's homework. The class had been ordered to produce a series of self-portraits, and Evie had spent the hours before Carlos's party hard at work on her portfolio, taking pictures of herself. Beauty required effort, didn't it? Wasn't that what her mother always said? And since her mother had made her so aware of every angle and every trick of light and cosmetics, Evie had the best photographs. Truthfully, this class was nothing. By the time Evie could hold a hairbrush, she had known how to make herself seem 10 times more beautiful than she really was. "It's all smoke and mirrors," she thought, wincing at the word mirror. That's how you get to be the fairest of them all. She tried to ignore the other girls in the class, the step-granddaughters especially, who looked daggers at her. "It's as if you spend every second staring at your own reflection," Mother Gothel marveled. "Now, that is a feat of self-centeredness." Evie smiled. "Why, thank you. I do try." "Your mother must be so proud," Mother Gothel said, handing back the photos. Evie only nodded. After bombing on his evil world history exam, Jay ducked to hide from an evil step-granddaughter who waved to him coquettishly, making him late for his enrichment class. He slipped into the shadows behind a statue in the stairwell. Crap. It wasn't as if he hadn't enjoyed dancing with her last night. He liked dancing with her fine, and stealing girls' hearts was practically a hobby. But it wasn't as fun as stealing other things, since hearts came with too many strings attached. And it certainly didn't pay as well. Besides, Jay liked his freedom. "Jay!" Her voice sing-song down the hall. "Oh, Jay, I think you might have something of my grandmother's that I need back. I'm very, very angry at you, you bad boy," she said, not sounding angry at all. But Jay wouldn't come out of his hiding place behind the statue of evil dragon Maleficent. The stone monstrosity commissioned by Maleficent herself took up more than half the landing between the school's second and third basement levels, and had become one of Jay's most reliable hiding spots. Soon, his predatory dance date gave up the search. Phew, that was close. He slid out of his hiding and fell into step with Carlos, who frowned at him without looking up from his book as he walked. Closer than all the other times? Yeah, no, not really, Jay sighed. Carlos turned the page and the two boys headed into enrichment without saying another word. Enrichment was literally about enriching oneself by taking from others. The class studied lock-picking techniques, shoplifting secrets, which meant it was Jay's favorite class for the obvious reason, being a thief and all, and today's guest lecturer was none other than the school's creepy headmaster himself, Dr. Facilier.
"There are many kinds of thieves," Dr. Facilier said in his silky whisper. "One can shoplift at the bazaar, or burglarize a home, or steal a rickshaw. But these are, of course, petty exercises, mere child's play."
Jay wanted to argue. After all, he had Dr. Facilier's bolo tie in his pocket, didn't he? "What are you calling child's play, old man?"
"But a true villain has larger ambitions. To steal an identity, a fortune, someone's entire life. Can someone give me an example of such villainy, such great enrichment?" The good doctor surveyed the room.
"Yes, Carlos?"
"My mother wanted to steal 101 puppies, Carlos said, almost in a yelp. "That was large."
Yes, and that was an extravagantly evil dream. Dr. Facilier smiled, and everyone in the room shuddered at the sight. Anyone else? Examples? My mother stole Rapunzel's magic to keep herself young? Ginny Gothel offered. Rapunzel had really large hair? You have a point there. A very good example, surely, of enriching oneself through the abuse of others, Dr. Facilier nodded. He walked over to the blackboard. Now, I understand that the advanced students among you have your project for evil schemes due. A few heads nodded, including Jay's and Carlos's. My own evil scheme was the heights of enrichment. Does anyone know it? The room was silent. Dr. Facilier looked insulted. He muttered something about kids these days and resumed his lecture. For my evil scheme, I had turned Prince Naveen into a frog and voodooed his valet to look like him. My plan was for his valet to marry Charlotte LeBouf, and once he did, I would kill her father and take his fortune. If I had succeeded, I would have stolen a man's identity and another man's fortune, a stroke of enrichment. The class clapped. A beaming Dr. Facilier bowed stiffly and quickly. Except you failed, Carlos pointed out when the room was silent again. Yes, Dr. Facilier brooded, his face falling. That's true. I failed. Disastrously, unfortunately, and decidedly. I was a complete and utter failure. And I won neither the princess nor the fortune. Hence the founding of Dragon Hall, where we must learn from our failures and teach the next generation of villains to do what we were not able to do. Harriet Hook raised her hand. What's that? Prepare, research, be more evil, work faster, think bigger, Dr. Facilier urged. So that when the time comes, when the dome falls, and magic is returned to us, and it will be, my children, it will be, evil like us cannot be contained. You will be ready. Jay scribbled on his notepad. Be more evil. Think bigger. The big score. Once again, his thoughts went back to the dragon's eye. It was Maleficent's scepter, and the quest for its recovery was Mal's mission. It wasn't his quest, and it wasn't his problem. What if it was? What if it should be? Mal had asked him to help, and he had blown her off. But what if he told her that he would help her? And what if, when they did find it, he stole it right from under her nose? He would be stealing fortune and her identity as Maleficent's heir all in one swoop, just like Dr. Facilier. And what if, by chance, it still worked? His father would finally have his big score. Jay would have his evil scheme. Between the two of them, they'd find a way off the Isle of the Lost, left over and forgotten. They didn't belong there anymore, did they? Jay smiled. He would enrich himself, all right, all the way to becoming the Master of Darkness. By lunchtime, the rest of the school was still talking about last night's epic howler at Hell Hall, but Mal had no interest. The party was the past. She'd moved on. She had bigger things to worry about now. All she could think about was how her mother wanted the dragon's eye back, and how Maleficent wouldn't see her as anything other than her father's daughter. In other words, a pathetic, soft human. Until Mal could prove her wrong. Mal kept reliving last night's conversation over and over, so that she missed her first few classes and sleepwalked through the rest. She arrived for her one-on-one after-school seminar with Lady Tremaine, still feeling anxious and out of sorts. "Hi, Professor Tremaine. You wanted to see me about my year-long evil scheme?" she asked, knocking on the open door to the faculty tombs. Lady Tremaine looked up from her desk with a thin smile. "Yes. Come in, and shut the door, please." A full thermos of curdled wine sat on the desk in front of her, which didn't bode well. Lady Tremaine only drank sour wine when she was in a sour mood. Mal knew she was in trouble. But she did as told and sat across from her teacher. "So, what's up?" Lady Tremaine snorted. "What's up is this. Sad excuse for a year-long evil scheme. A grudge against one girl. Party tricks. Pranks. This is beneath you, Mal. I expected more from you. You're my best student." She reached for her wine and sipped it, making an appropriately disgusted face. "You expected more?" "You and everyone else on this island," Mal thought sullenly. "Get in line." "What's wrong with my evil scheme?" she asked. "It's just not evil enough," sniffed Lady Tremaine. Mal sighed. Lady Tremaine glared. "I need you to really put your dark heart and foul soul into it. Come up with a truly wicked scheme. One that will bring you to the depths of depravity and heights of wicked greatness of which I know you're capable." Mal kicked the desk and frowned. She thought her evil scheme was pretty wicked. "Like what? And how do you know what wicked greatness I'm capable of, anyway? You are Mal, daughter of Maleficent. Who doesn't know that?" Lady Tremaine shook her head. "You'd be surprised," Mal thought. Lady Tremaine continued to sip her wine. "I'm sure you'll come up with something, dear. You are your mother's daughter, after all. I expect something truly horrid and legendary for your evil scheme. Something that will go down in history," Lady Tremaine said, returning Mal's paper to her. "I'll give you a minute to brainstorm, if that helps." Mal looked down at the proposal she'd originally written. At first, she bristled at the criticism. She didn't want to hear it. What was wrong with this? It was evil, pure evil, and it was bad, wasn't it? Taking down a princess? That wasn't exactly a nice thing to do. She was going to make Evie pay, wasn't she? And a vendetta. That was a time-honored evil scheme, wasn't it? Classic villainy? What was wrong with that? Mal wanted to crumple the paper in her hand. She didn't have time for this. She had other things on her mind. Her mother and the dragon's eye, for one, and that stupid cursed scepter. Hey, wait a minute. What did my mother say about the dragon's eye? Whoever touches the scepter will be cursed to fall asleep for 1,000 years. Maleficent had only cursed Aurora's kingdom to fall asleep for 100 years, after Sleeping Beauty had pricked her finger on a spinning wheel. This curse put the victim to sleep for 1,000. That was like 10 times more evil. Unless her math was off. Anyway, much more evil. Plus or minus a few zeros. Maybe she should embark on this quest after all. And if somehow, along the way, she made it happen that Evie was the one who would touch the dragon's eye, well, that would be the nastiest, wickedest plan the Isle would ever witness. A 2-for-1, no, a triple play. She'd take out the princess and win her own mother's respect, as well as the school's evil scheme competition, all at once. Lady Tremaine was right. All these little petty tricks she had planned to play on Evie were nothing compared to this. If Mal sent Evie to sleep for 1,000 years, well, what could be nastier than that? Or, more to the point, who?
I've got it, Mel said, jumping up from her chair and giving the startled Lady Tremaine a big hug, despite her better judgment and Lady Tremaine's breath.
Something so evil no one has seen it before, or ever will again.
Wonderful child. Oh, it makes me so happy to see you so wicked, sniffed Lady Tremaine, bringing a hanky to her eye. It brings me hope for our future, except for, you know, that hug.
Mel smiled triumphantly. Even a sappy hug couldn't get to her now. She couldn't wait to get started. Evil waited for no one.
Her mind started turning. She couldn't very well embark on an evil quest alone. If she were going to look for a needle in a haystack, or the dragon's eye on the island, she would need minions, her own henchmen to command, just like her mother had. She would have to put together a strike team. Plus, it would be easier to get Evie to come with her if she were part of a group. But where would she get minions of her own? Of course, there were always Maleficent's henchmen's kids. Except those boar-like guys stink too much. And as for the goblins and jackals, well, who would run the slop shop? Also, as she noted before, she didn't speak goblin. Besides, her mother kept harping about how useless they'd been during the whole cursed Sleeping Beauty mission. Pass. Mal would have to find her own team. Her own crew of right-hand men and one yes woman in particular. Where to start? She'd need someone who knew the island back and forth, upside down and sideways. Someone who could be counted on if they met any trouble, being a whole lot of trouble himself. Someone who knew how to get his hands on what he wanted. She just had to convince him to join her. Maybe she could promise him some kind of reward or something. It was already dark when she left school and went straight to Jafar's junk shop.
Chapter 15. Thick as Thieves.
Mal tossed pebbles at the junk shop's window so that they clattered on the sill.
Jay, are you there?
She shout whispered.
Jay, come out. I want to talk to you.
She hurled a few more stones again.
Who's making that infernal noise? Oh, doesn't anyone know how to ring a doorbell these days?
Jafar demanded as he pushed the window open and stuck his head out. He was about to unleash a string of curses when he saw who was standing outside.
Oh, my dear Mel, he said,
his voice still as silky as when he had been advising the Sultan. How may I be of service? Mel was about to apologize when she remembered, dark fairies are never sorry.
I'm looking for Jay, she said, trying to sound as commanding as her mother.
Why? Yes, of course, Jafar said. I will let him know.
Please, come inside.
There was a pause, and then Jafar bellowed in a booming voice,
Jay? Mal wants you! There in a sec,
Jay yelled back. What's the deal with villains and birds? Asked Mal, entering the junk shop and finding Iago on Jafar's shoulder. She thought of how Maleficent showered Diablo with so much affection.
Excuse me?
Jafar asked, while Iago narrowed his beady eyes at Mal.
Nothing.
Jay appeared.
Oh, hey, Mal. Funny you're here. I was just about to head over your way.
We should talk more about that homework assignment, Mel said, shooting dagger looks at him. Nobody else could know about the dragon's eye.
Right. Yeah, homework. Thanks, Dad. I'll take it from here, Jay said, indicating pointedly for his dad to leave.
Jafar pulled his robe around him and huffed, Iago squawking and flying behind him. Is there somewhere we can talk? Mal asked when she and Jay were finally alone. Jay motioned to the junk shop. What's wrong with here? Mal looked around the messy shop, noticing a few things that were hers in the pile and taking them back without comment. She supposed it was as good a place as any. And seriously, what was she hiding anyway? It wasn't as if anyone else would steal Maleficent's dragon eye. Who would be dumb enough to do that? She squinted at Jay, who was inspecting a beaker that he'd pulled from his pocket. His silvery eyes shone with mischief. Where'd you get that? She asked. What is it?
I don't know. Reza had it in his bag. He was all protective about it, so I took it.
Jay explained with a sly smile. Mal made an impatient gesture. She couldn't wait to get started and couldn't afford to get distracted. Listen, I know you don't think we can, but we need to figure out how to find that dragon's eye. I mean, it does command all of the forces of darkness when it works. And who knows? Magic might return to the island one day. Jay raised his eyebrows.
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing.
Really?
She asked, shocked that he had taken so little convincing. She began to get a tad suspicious. Jay blew on his nails.
Yeah, I mean, come on. If it's really here, we need to get our hands on it.
But are you sure your mother's right?
I mean, she is a little crazy in the horn head.
Mal rolled her eyes. You can't deny Diablo's back. He was frozen in stone, but he's alive now. He's already eaten almost everything in her cupboards.
Whoa.
I know, right?
Iago's the same.
I think he eats more than me and Dad combined. They shared a chuckle.
Okay, great. I was hoping to start searching as soon as possible,
Mal said, willing to overlook the possibility that Jay was only agreeing to help for his own selfish motives. She could handle him. Jay was about to say something when he turned around, his reflexes swift and suspicious.
What's that noise?
He asked, just as the door to the back room crashed down and Jafar tumbled through, Iago sitting on his stomach.
I told you that you were too fat to lean on that door,
Iago scolded. Jafar made a valiant attempt to take back his dignity and pulled himself up to stand and brush the dust and detritus from his hair.
Oh, we were just about to ask if the two of you wanted dinner, weren't we, Iago?
But we couldn't help but overhear.
Forgive me if we are wrong, but did you say that Maleficent's dragon's eye scepter is lost somewhere on this island?
Jafar asked, his dark eyes gleaming. Mal narrowed her eyes at Jay, mentally berating him for not having found a suitable place for them to talk privately. But it was clear that it was too late, and Jafar already knew everything. Jafar looked solemnly at the two teenagers in front of him.
Follow me. It's time we had a real conversation.
He led them to his private sitting room in the back of the shop, a cozy den full of jewel-toned curtains and oriental rugs, tufted satin pillows and brass lamps and sconces that gave it a mournful, exotic desert air. Jafar took a seat on one of the long, low couches and motioned for them to make themselves comfortable on the ottomans.
When I was released from my genie bottle and brought here to this cursed island, while I was whizzing through the air, I saw what looked at first like just an ordinary forest, but upon closer observation was actually a black castle covered in thorns.
Another castle? Mal asked,
covered in thorns, you say? That would mean that's her mother's true castle. The bargain castle was rental. It wasn't their true home. The forbidden fortress. Wasn't that what her mother's real home was called? Mal had never paid enough attention, but it certainly sounded familiar. And where else could it be but the Isle of the Lost? Jafar pulled on his raggedy beard. Yes. But I'm afraid I can't be sure of exactly where it is, though. This island is far larger than you think, and you could look forever and never find it. Especially if it is hidden in the Forbidden Zone. Nowhere, as it was called by the citizens of the Isle.
Never,
repeated Iago, with a ruffle of his feathers. That's what I said, Jay nodded. I had completely forgotten about seeing the fortress until now. When you mentioned Diablo's return and his testimony that he saw the dragon's eye himself, said Jafar, and if the fortress is on the island, perhaps it's not all that's hidden in the mist. But why would it be here? Jay asked, leaning forward on his knees and looking at his father intently. These things were too dangerous to keep in Auradon, and with magic made impossible by the dome, they are harmless now. But if we were to take back what is rightfully ours, perhaps we might have a chance against that invisible barrier one day. Diablo swears the dragon's eye has sparked back to life, which means that maybe the shield is not as impenetrable as we thought, said Mal. But we're still stuck with not knowing exactly where it is. There's not exactly a map to nowhere. We can try the Athenaeum of Evil, said Jay promptly. The Anthe-what of Evil? The Library of Forbidden Secrets in Dragon Hall. You know, that locked door that no one's supposed to go into. The one with the big spider guarding it. Mal shook her head. You really think that's anything? I always thought it was just a way to keep the first years out of Dr. Facilier's office. Well, we have to start somewhere. And I remember Dr. F mentioning an enrichment that the library contains information about the history of the island. Since when do you pay attention in class? Mal asked disgustedly. Listen, you want my help or not? Jay had a point. It was a start, and she'd learned more about the island in one evening at the junk shop than she had in 16 years. All right. We'll go tomorrow bright and early, Jay said cheerfully. Meet at the bazaar for supplies first, as soon as the market opens. Mal made a face. She hated getting up early. What's wrong with tonight? The orchestra's playing a concert tonight. There will be too many people around. Tomorrow's Saturday. No one will be there. Easier. Mal sighed. Ah, fine. By the way, thanks for your help, Jafar. My pleasure, Jafar said with a crooked smile. Good night. When Mal had gone, Jay felt his father slither up to him and dig his fingers into his sleeve. What's up? He asked, even though he already knew. The dragon's eye, Jafar cooed. I know, Jay nodded. It would be the biggest score of the year. I would hate to think you're betraying your friend, Jafar said with a sorrowful look on his face. Don't worry, Dad. None of us have any friends, Jay scoffed. Least of all, Mal. As they'd agreed, the next morning Jay met Mal at the crowded marketplace so they could pick up, read swipe, supplies for their journey to find the fortress. Jay hung back and snatched a bunch of fruit from a couple of tents
while Mal stopped at a fortune teller's stand and traded a stolen pair of only slightly chipped earrings for a tattered pack of tarot cards.
What are those for?
Jay asked. No one's allowed into the library, right? Where all those documents are locked up and sealed. And the only person who has the key is Dr. F, and he loves tarot cards. Glad to see you're awake, Mal replied. So, how sure are you about this whole thing? I mean, a little sure, a lot sure, just want something to do sure? Asked Jay, juggling a few bruised peaches. I don't know, but I have to at least try to find the fortress, especially if the dragon's eye's there. Also, don't you think it's weird that we've never left the village? I mean, this island's pretty small, and we've never even tried to look around. What's there to look at? You said it yourself. We're probably headed for nowhere. But if somehow there's a map of the island in the library, we'll know exactly where in nowhere we should be heading to find the fortress. There's something out there, beyond the village. I know it. But say we do get a hold of the dragon's eye and it can't do anything, Jay asked. Diablo swears that it's sparked to life. But how? There's no magic on the isle. Nada. Well, maybe there's a hole in the dome or something, said Mal.
A hole? Scoffed Jay.
I told you, I don't know. All I know is that the raven swears he saw its spark, and my mother wants me to fetch it like I'm an errand girl. If you're too chicken to come with me, then go back and steal some more crap for your junk shop, Mal said annoyed.
I'm not chicken.
Yeah, more like a parrot, said Mal. Jay sighed. She had him there.
Fine,
he grumbled. Maybe you're right. Maybe there is a hole.
Chapter 16. Lifelong Frenemies.
Mal's and Jay's squabbling voices carried throughout the marketplace, and Evie couldn't help but overhear. She was at the bazaar for her first ever shopping trip. Since nothing had befallen Evie for having left the castle and gone to school, Evil Queen was more convinced than ever that Maleficent had forgotten about their banishment, or at least didn't care that they had returned. Evil Queen was so excited to be back in the village. She was running from storefront to storefront, saying hello to everyone and filling her cart with all sorts of age-defying elixirs and new beauty regimens. Evie squinted at their faces. Mal was scowling and Jay looked annoyed, as per usual. Was she imagining it? Or did she hear them say something about a hole in the magical barrier? The memory of that burst of light that had shot out of Carlos's invention the night of the party came to her quickly. Are you guys talking about a hole in the dome? She asked, coming up to the two of them. Mal looked up suspiciously, but when she saw Evie, her voice turned thick as honey.
Why, Evie! Oh, you're just the person I've been looking for, she said.
She is?
Jay asked, confused.
Yes, she is, Mal said definitively. Now, what were you saying about the dome?
Evie wondered if she should tell them what she knew. She knew she couldn't trust Mal, and she had an inkling that Jay was behind her missing Poison Heart necklace. She hadn't seen it since the party, and suspected he'd lifted it when he'd taken her cloak that evening.
I might, she hedged.
So tell us, said Jay, crossing his arms.
Why should I? Evie sniffed.
Mal had trapped her in a closet, and Jay wasn't any better, really, the little thief.
Because, Jay said. Then he was stumped. Because if you don't, Mal will curse you? He added, even though he didn't sound convinced himself. If you haven't noticed, there's no magic on this island, Evie said huffily. Not yet, said Mal, but there may be one day. She took Evie's arm in hers and whispered, look, I know we didn't start off on the right foot, but I think we should let bygones be bygones. It's a small island and we shouldn't be enemies. Really? Totally, said Mal with her sweetest smile. Evie knew Mal wasn't being sincere, but she was intrigued enough to play along with it. She was about to tell her what she knew about the dome when Evil Queen burst out of Bits and Bobs wearing a jet black velour sweatsuit with Queen embroidered across her derriere. Evie, I got some new eyeshadow for you. Oh, she said when she saw Evie wasn't alone. If it isn't Mal, she added nervously. How are you, dear? How's your mother? Is she here? Is she still mad at me? Mal blinked. Evie wished her mother would stop talking. But of course that was a fruitless wish. Her mother continued to babble on nervously. Tell your mother to come around and see me sometime. I'd be happy to give her a makeover. I've seen her photos in the paper. She looks a bit green lately. She needs a stronger foundation, Evil Queen said. I'll let her know, Mal said. You do that, sweetheart. And if I may say so, your purple hair is fabulous. It really brings out your cheekbones, Evil Queen gushed. Thank you, I guess, said Mal, who looked distinctly uncomfortable. Jay laughed. Take the compliment, Mal. Sorry, Evil Queen. Mal isn't used to compliments. You know, Maleficent has no interest in beauty, unless it can be used to glamour someone into doing her will. Right. Let's go, Evie, said her mother. Oh, can Evie hang out with us? Asked Mal with a syrupy smile. We were just about to grab a few unhealthy snacks from the slop shop. Evie was torn. On the one hand, she knew she should stay away from Mal if she wanted to be safe. But on the other, she never got to hang out with kids her age. Evil Queen nodded. Sure, I'll see you at home, sweetie. As she left, she mouthed, reapply your lip gloss. When her mother had disappeared into the crowd, Evie picked up the conversation where they had left off. You guys want to know about the hole in the dome or not? Mal and Jay exchanged glances. Of course we do, they chorused. Evie shrugged. Well, something happened the night of the party that may have to do with a dome. Is that right? Asked Mal with a raised eyebrow. You need to talk to Carlos, said Evie. He knows what happened. She shivered from the memory, at the bright light that had emanated from that little machine. For a second there, she had worried that they had broken the universe somehow. She still remembered the vibrant, sharp feeling of electricity in the air. It had felt like magic.
Carlos? Why? What does he have to do with anything?
Mal demanded as they passed a tent selling colorful scarves, and Jay practiced his parkour by running across the walls and rooftops. Because he was the one that did it, said Evie. Did what? Punched a hole in the dome. Jay barked a laugh and dropped down next to them.
Yeah, right. As if that little guy can punch anything.
Come on, Mel. We've got work to do. He began to turn away. Evie stared at Mal. Mal stared at Evie. I'm not lying, she said to Mal. I didn't think you were, said Mal, her green eyes flashing. Evie met them with her calm blue ones. Finally, Mal said, okay. You actually believe her? Jay gawked, sounding right then like Iago. I think we need to check it all out, said Mal. But we're headed to Dragon Hall, said Jay. No, we'll head toward Hell Hall first. I want to talk to Carlos, Mal decided. And you're coming with us, Evie. Evie didn't argue with that. Something big was going down. Something had started. The night that Carlos had turned on that machine. And against her better judgment, Evie wanted to see how it would end. So, onward to Hell Hall they went. But now the twosome was three. Chapter 17. Do you believe in magic? One more day of freedom before his mother came home. Carlos surveyed his domain, considering that it had been the headquarters of a rather epic party earlier in the week. It didn't look too bad. The Broomba had worked wonders. Then again, the place always was a bit of a wreck, so who would notice? The Iron Knight who towered over the staircase was as solid as ever. The draperies just as heavy and dusty. The faded wallpaper and the holes in the walls lending just that ruined touch that other decorators on the island tried to copy, to no avail. Carlos was enjoying the rare, relative peace in his house when it was shattered by the sound of the front door knocker pounding so hard, he was sure its booming echo could be heard across the entire island. He opened the door, then slammed it shut when he saw who was on his doorstep. Go away, Mal. Haven't you done enough? He yelled from inside the house. Open up. It's important, Jay demanded. No! Carlos? That was Evie's voice. Something happened with that machine of yours the other night. Something big. Wait, what? Evie had told them about his invention? But she had promised. He cracked open the door the tiniest bit so that only his left eye was showing. You told them what happened? He said accusingly. I trusted you. Evie pleaded. Come on, open up. I brought you a pillow. Carlos opened the door grudgingly. Fine, you guys can come in. But don't even think of locking anyone in the closet this time, Mal. He turned to Evie. Is it made of goose down? He asked excitedly. He hadn't really believed she would bring him one. Yep. The vultures who brought it said the goblin who found it swore it's from one of the Auradon castles, Evie said, handing him a pillow and a blue silk pillowcase with a royal insignia. He accepted the pillow and led them into the living room, pushed some deflated black balloons off the couch, and glowered at them. Well, what did my machine do? He asked. Mal raised an eyebrow, and he immediately regretted his tone of voice. I mean, care to enlighten me? He asked politely. Evie? Prompted Mal. Evie took a deep breath. Okay. So the night of the party, Carlos switched on this machine he's invented. It's a box that looks for some kind of signal that lets you watch other TV shows. Right, Carlos? Carlos nodded. And music and
lots of other things through radio waves. So when he turned it on that night, it let out this huge blast of light, she said breathlessly, and it burned a hole right through the treehouse roof. We saw it go right through the dome, Carlos nodded, and the TV suddenly came alive with all these colors. And there were a bunch of new shows, not just the usual Dungeon Deals and King Beast Fireside Chats. But how does that prove it broke through the dome? Asked Mal, who looked skeptical, and Carlos couldn't blame her. He hardly believed it himself. Because we've never seen those shows before, which means the signal didn't come from the relay station on the Isle of the Lost, which means it had to have come from a forbidden network in Auradon, said Evie. Which means, Carlos prodded, the blast broke through the dome for a second. Evie finished triumphantly. Mal turned to Carlos. You really think that your machine did that? It might have, he admitted. Do you think there's a possibility it let magic in and not just radio waves? Magic in? I don't know. Why? Do you know something we don't? There had to be a reason Mal was here. She had to have some kind of angle on this. Mal never paid any attention to anyone unless she wanted something. What did she want? He could see her weighing her options. Would she tell them? She didn't know him very well except to tease him, and from what he'd observed so far, Mal wasn't fond of Evie in the least. Jay might be in on it. He had to be, otherwise he wouldn't be here. Fine, I'll tell you guys, Mal said finally. Jay already knows, but this has to stay between us. And Evie? No hidden backseats. Evie put her hands up in protest. Okay, so the night of the party, my mother's raven, Diablo, who'd been turned into stone by the three so-called good fairies 20 years ago, came back to life. And Diablo swears he saw the dragon's eye, my mother's missing scepter, spark to life as well. Carlos stared at her, and no one spoke for a long moment. But that would mean, Carlos said, his eyes blinking rapidly as if he couldn't believe what he was hearing. Magic! That magic had been able to penetrate the dome for a second, Jay said excitedly. He had been silent until now, looking around Hell Hall, most likely to see if he had missed pocketing anything good from the other night. Carlos himself was still trying to process what Mal had told them. It was one thing to get to watch new television shows, but it was quite another to hear that magic had penetrated the invisible barrier, and that Maleficent's missing scepter, the most powerful dark weapon in the universe, had been brought back to life. Yes, said Mal. Diablo swears it's true. And so now my mother has tasked me with getting the dragon's eye back. Just in case it happens again. The magic returning. So that this time, she'll be ready. Jay coughed. And so, we should get on the road, Mal, before it gets too late, he said. You know, I hate to miss a meal. Carlos could sympathize with that, especially since meals came so rarely. Wait a minute. Before we go, I want to see this box of his, Mal said, motioning to Carlos. Carlos was about to argue, but decided it was wiser to let Mal have her way. All right, he said. Let me go get it.
He ran through the Safeway into his mother's closet and returned with the machine. He handed it to Mal, who inspected it closely. She shook it, put it up to her ear, and shrugged. It looked just like a regular box to her. Nothing special, and certainly not powerful enough to break through the dome. "Can you make it work again?" she asked. "I haven't tried." "Try." He hesitated for a moment, then fiddled with a few knobs and looked fearfully up at the ceiling. "Okay, here we go." He pressed the switch. Nothing happened. He tried again. Again, nothing. He shook his head. "Sorry, maybe it was just a one-time deal." Mal crossed her arms, looking stymied. Carlos knew that look. It meant she was about to explode. What if Mal thought they were just pulling her leg? Letting her think they had made a discovery when all along they were just making fun of her? He had to think of something. "Want to see the hole in the ceiling?" he offered. If Mal wanted proof, he could give her proof. Mal thought about it for a minute. "Sure, why not?" Carlos took them to his treehouse, and the four of them inspected the ceiling. It was definitely there. A perfectly round, tiny black hole. "Rad," pronounced Jay, bumping fists with Carlos. Carlos grinned proudly. He was still hugging his new pillow. He was looking forward to trying it out soon. Would he actually sleep through the night for once, without tossing and turning? Mal peered up at the ceiling. "I don't know how much I believe your little invention actually blasted a hole in the invisible dome. But Jay's right. We should get going." Carlos sighed, unsure of whether to be relieved or distressed. Mal was about to leave the room when the black box on his desk suddenly began to beep. 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 Mal turned around and stared at it. "Why is it doing that?" she asked. Carlos ran over to check. "I don't know, but it's been beeping on and off since it blew a hole in the roof in the dome." "Maybe it's looking for a signal," said Evie excitedly. "Maybe it senses something." "Like what?" he asked, looking down at this invention with something like awe. He never thought it would really work. But if Diablo was right, then this thing of his might have actually broken the magical barrier. And now Evie was hinting at something more? He'd only hoped to get a glimpse of the outside world, not bring magic back into the island. "Yeah, what do you mean, Evie?" asked Mal. "Like, maybe now it senses the dragon's eye. You said it's never done this before. Maybe it's because that's never happened before. It's never had anything to talk to," said Evie rather astutely. "You think it could be communicating with the dragon's eye?" asked Mal. "Like a compass or a homing beacon," said Jay. His eyes gleamed as he studied the machine hungrily. And Carlos put a protective hand on his invention. Jay was most likely already calculating how much he could get for something like it at the shop. "Could be," said Evie. "She might actually have a point," said Carlos. "A homing beacon," echoed Mal. "I was just guessing," said Evie. "I don't know anything about anything." Carlos wanted to tell her that she was selling herself short when he realized that he always did the same thing. "No, you don't," said Mal sharply, "but you're still coming with us." Evie jumped back.
With you? Where? I agreed to come to Carlos's, but... She shook her head and tugged her cloak tightly around her shoulders. I'm not going anywhere. No way. You have to help us find the eye, said Mal. You're natural at this. You're so good at it. I need help, and you want to help me, don't you? Don't you want to be my friend? I want to be yours, Evie. Oh, I don't know. Shush, it's settled. And I'll take this, thank you very much, Mal said, reaching for the box. No way, Carlo said, as Mal tried to pull it from him. Mal tugged it to her side. Let go, Carlos, she growled. He yanked it back. She was not taking it. He made it himself.